Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So listen, you know, obviously the Red Sox, we broadcast their games, all of them here on WTIC. And I'm a big Red Sox fan off the air.
No.
And I've been a season ticket holder since, I think, 2005. And so, you know, when it comes to, and as a journalist, I just like good journalism. And baseball is a great game on Twitter because there's so many little snippets and nuggets for people who follow it. And a guy who I just think is, I mean, I don't know, coming into his own as a reporter and on social media is Alex Spear of the Boston Globe. And so I want to have him on the show just to talk about some baseball because I think he's doing great work. So good morning, Alex.
Hi, that was a very kind introduction.
Yeah, are you blushing? I'd be blushing.
But it's true. Like, I could qualify. You have some of the best minutia, right? Like, okay. I like the, you know.
Well, that's true.
And that's the stuff I like.
Yeah.
And so baseball fans usually like that stuff. So anyway, Alex, welcome to the show for the first time. Hopefully it'll be first of many. I'm just curious in general, do you like this team? And when I say like, not in terms of like, are you a fan, but do you like the team's chances?
Yeah.
I think that they're somewhat better than I anticipated entering the year, right? I thought that they were going to be kind of playing for their talent level was that of maybe a team that was somewhere between 80 and 85 wins entering the year.
Yeah.
But within that, you always acknowledge the possibility that there are dynamics inside of a team that can take it well beyond or below what you project for it. We've seen that all the time with the Red Sox, especially over the course of the last decade. And so there was this kind of X factor of, like, what are the dynamics like when you get Alex Cora back as the manager? We saw that propelled them to another level back in 2018. We saw that with John Farrell in 2013. So there was this curiosity with a bunch of kind of with a bunch of good, solid baseball players that they added, if not, you know, not all stars, but good players. And so within that, I think that they have a solid talent base that is not the best in the American League East, but I think that they're playing very, very effectively in a way that, you know, should keep them at least in wild card contention throughout this year. And obviously, they're off to such a good start that it gives them more leeway to, you know, to even think bigger than that, right?
Right.
So your question is, you know, do I like its chances? I think that they have a chance to be a contender throughout the course of this year, which, you know, certainly they've outperformed my expectations for them thus far, and I've had to kind of adjust my expectations for what this team possibly can do.
Within the AL East, who do you think then, in your estimation, who do you think would be the front runners? Who's the favorite?
I think that the Yankees' talent base is extremely, extremely high. They've obviously, the absence of Luke Voit had been a pretty significant blow. They've also been without Zach Britton, so they've been a little bit shorthanded, but they really seem to be starting to round into a pretty nicely balanced team. Stanton has been just ridiculous thus far, and they have guys who can mash up and down the lineup, and I would say that they have slightly less boomer bust tendencies than the Red Sox, which sounds strange given that the Yankees strike out plenty as well. But I think that they have better lineup balance. I think at the high end of their rotation, you know, when you're anchoring with Cole, and, you know, there have been some really good signs with Kluber of late, among others. You know, even Herman has been pretty good of late, and their bullpen is ridiculous. I mean, it's What they've managed to put together as a Death Star bullpen over the course of the last several years is extraordinary, and that's where the game has gone, right? Like, you win games by having the ability to just annihilate opponents over the course of the last four innings, and the Yankees have done that, have assembled a group that's better able to do that than anyone else.
Although I will say that until Aroldis Chapman wins a game that matters, I'm gonna be skeptical. But anyway, I know what he's done so far this year. We're talking with Alex Speer of the Boston Globe. I do want to talk about Xander Bogaerts. I mean, I do think quietly. It's strange that I say quietly, he's really could be the best shortstop in baseball, but as has been written, you know, he's represented by Scott Boras. I believe he can get out of his deal at the end of next year, and I'm not saying he'd get Mookie Betts-type duration or money, but he would cost a lot to keep. What do you think of him, and then do you think the Red Sox will pay to keep him?
This is going to be an interesting one. You're right that he has the ability to opt out after 2022, and his performance level over the course of the last, you know, really since signing that contract, right? He signed it at the very beginning of 2019. Since then, he's been far and away the most productive shortstop in Major League Baseball. And you know, the reason why he's overshadowed is because his tools don't flash in the same way as some of the other guys who are prominent shortstops, like. Correa might have more raw power, or, you know, he might not have the defensive, he doesn't have the defensive flash of a Lindor and the range of some other guys, but man, is he consistent. Like, he has the ability, his slumps are mitigated by his ability to just throw the bat at the ball and be able to, like, and be able to pick up singles to the opposite field whenever he's in trouble. So he's always providing average and on base, and then on top of that, he'll go into these streaks, as he has over the last few weeks, and just start, you know, demolishing the ball. So he's the overall effect has been he's been far and away the most consistent shortstop in Major League Baseball since 2019, and he's been the most productive one as a result of that in tandem with his skill. So with that 2022 opt-out, I think that it is very, very, very likely that he will opt out because he's just outperforming the heck out of his contract, and the shortstop market has moved. We've seen it with Lindor, we've seen it with Tatis, and we're probably going to see it with some other guys this coming off season. So with that, there's that interesting question of will the Red Sox work with him to create a new contract? The Dodgers did it with the likes of Kershaw. They managed to find something that was relatively short term when he, as a franchise player, opted out. But then just, you know, kind of gave him a little bit, gave him some more money. I think that possibility certainly exists with Bogaerts because he's made it very clear that he wants to stay in Boston. He's already proven that he's willing to take some discount to ensure that happens.
Yeah.
I think that there's a decent chance that he would compromise either on the years or the value of the contract
right.
in order to make it happen again. But that's no guarantee. I mean, he did it once, but you know, at a certain point. You know, it all depends on what motivates the guy, but Bogaerts does seem cut from a little bit of a different cloth.
Yeah, we'll see, and we'll see what influence, you know, Boras has. A couple quick things. We only have like 2 minutes here. Number one, just you can give a little bit of a qualifier, but it's basically yes or no. Will we see Chris Sale pitch for the Red Sox this season?
Oh, yeah, I think that there's a very good chance of that. I think that the projection is that sometime in the second half of the season he should be able to get on the mound. Now, how effective he'll be, that's an interesting question because guys coming back from Tommy John usually take a while to find the command and stuff. That they're looking for.
You know, I think that this team, and when Mookie Betts left and then they didn't have the outfield trio having fun, I think this team, the Red Sox seem to do well when they have fun and they get along. Yeah. I think that's a fact. And so, you know, Cora's back and he holds people accountable, yet they have fun. Can you just tell people how the whole, they do this thing when someone hits a home run, they put them in this cart and then they run the cart down the down the dugout and they high five or whatever, and it's fun. How did that come about?
Well, last year they weren't having any fun, and that was amplified by the fact of the COVID restrictions, where the Red Sox decided that for safety's sake, they would put all the players isolated in different suites, two players per suite, but they didn't have a clubhouse to bring them together. And Jason Varitek, kind of late in the season, said, "This isn't working. We need to make baseball a little bit more fun again." So he talked to Kevin Plawecki, the backup catcher, about what can we do, and Plawecki came up with the cart, and it. it started, you know, they started having a little bit more joy at the end of games, at the end of a miserable season last year, and decided to carry it forward, and they're hitting a pretty good number of home runs, so they seem to be having fun with it.
Woo-hoo. All right, Alex, listen, great stuff.
Thanks, Alex. Enjoy
it. Thanks for getting up early for us. I know, you know, late nights over there at Fenway, so hope to have you on again sometime.
Sounds great. I'd love it.
All right, Alex Spear of the Boston Globe. Also,
right, he is good.
He's got a book out, too,
about
the 2018 season. Yeah, this guy's getting it done.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.